Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing a series talking about a better way to pray, and yesterday we started talking about how do you see the supernatural power of God flow through you? Like, how do you get an answer to prayer? And what we started doing yesterday was taking the example where Jesus had a fig tree that professed that it had figs, but it didn't have any. And so he cursed it, and the fig tree died and withered away. The next day, his disciples saw what happened. They were just amazed by this. And they brought it to his attention, and he said, guys, this is faith. This is how faith works. Have faith in God. You shouldn't be surprised. And then he begins to tell them how he performed this miracle. And the same instruction that he gave his disciples is the same instruction to us about how to see miracles happen in your life. And so he said in Mark chapter 11, verse 23, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. And on yesterday's program, at the conclusion, I was making the point that to begin to start seeing the power of God manifest through you the way it was through Jesus, so that without touching anything, doing anything in the natural, you see supernatural results. Jesus, first of all, mentioned three different times the words that we speak. I use Proverbs chapter 18, verses 20 and 21. In verse 21, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. And I begin to start emphasizing how important words are. Words are how God created the heavens and the earth. It's how He released His faith. And faith has to be spoken to have its full impact. If you are going to release the power of God the way that Jesus did with this fig tree, you have to start understanding and putting faith in words. Quit speaking dead words, except when you want something to die. Quit speaking idle words. Start using your words to release the power of God. Man, that's a powerful truth. And let me also make this point. You know, there are a lot of people that they don't understand the power of words. It's obvious by the things that they say. And if you don't have any faith in your words, then the fig tree won't have any faith in your words, or whatever your problem is that you need to speak to. Remember, in this context, Mark chapter 11, verse 23, Jesus said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, the mountain would be like your problem. If you were speaking to cancer and telling cancer to die and get out of your body, and yet you don't believe in the words that you speak, then you know what? The things you're speaking to won't believe in the words that you speak. You can't have it both ways. You can't sit there and just speak hundreds, thousands of idle words thinking that they don't matter. I'm just shooting the breeze. I'm saying things that, you know, they aren't life or death. They're just nothing words. And then turn around and speak words and expect them to work. You're going to have to get to where when you speak words, you mean what you say. You say what you mean. You put faith in words. That's important. You know, I was recently in Uganda, and I ministered over there. And this is my first trip to Uganda, and I really don't know a lot about it except just that week or so that I was over there. But from what I understand, you know, African time and a clock time aren't the same things. When you say that we start a service at a certain time, that's usually when most of them just start moving in that direction. And it's not unusual to see people to be 30 minutes or an hour late. And, you know, we've got a discipleship program over there that one of our Bible college students, Leland Shores, is administering. And I was just really impressed. I'm going to give an update on Uganda in just the next week or two. And I think you will be really blessed to hear what happened. But here's my point, that Leland over there has decided that instead of allowing people to come in 30 minutes, an hour late, in these discipleship classes. They literally, they don't shut the doors because many of these churches don't have doors. And they're meeting in these structures that don't have doors, don't have windows in them. And so it's not like they shut the door, but I did see them put bicycles across the entrance, and they will not allow people to enter after a certain time. And they just say that that's ungodly. You know, ungodly means not like God. If God tells you He's going to do something, if He says He would be somewhere at 10 o'clock, then He's going to be there at 10 o'clock. And if you aren't there at 10 o'clock, then you are ungodly. And they are retraining these people. And some people think, well, I think that's restrictive and you shouldn't do that and you shouldn't be that strict. But again, it goes back to this principle that we're talking about. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain and believe that those things which you say shall come to pass. If you don't believe in your words, if you tell somebody, I'm going to be there at 10 o'clock, and you aren't there at 10 o'clock, you aren't a person of integrity. If you are going to start seeing supernatural power released through your life, you're going to have to get to where when you say something, you mean what you say, you will swear to your own hurt and not change. You know, I remember one time we were getting an alarm system put in our building, and I called some people, and I had some people coming to demonstrate their alarm system and make a sales pitch, and I'd already had a couple of people do it, and this one salesman showed up 30 minutes late. And when he got there, I noticed that he had a cell phone on his belt loop, so he could have called. But you know what? He was just 30 minutes late. And so when he came in, I said, well, you're late. And he said, oh, yeah, I got to talking. And he says, you know, I'm a few minutes late. But he says, you know, I'm ready now to give you the demonstration. And I told him, I said, I don't want to hear it. And he just looked at me and he says, but we have an appointment. I said, we had an appointment 30 minutes ago and you weren't here. And I said, you know what? If you don't care any more about what you're saying than to be 30 minutes late, and you do that before you get my business, then what's going to happen after you get my business and you tell me you're going to do something? I said, you aren't a person of your word, and I just don't want to do business with you. This guy was just shocked. Like, how could you do that? Well, I was shocked that somebody would treat what they say so lightly. I understand that you could have a problem like in traffic or something, but if you got a cell phone, you could call and let a person know. I'm not saying that I'm mean or strict about this, but I believe that words are important. If you are going to see the supernatural power of God operate in your life, you're going to have to get to a place to where you quit using foolish, wasted time with your words, and you're going to start saying things and mean what you say, and you've got to start understanding the power that's in words. If you don't believe that, and if your speech is betraying you that you do not understand that words have death and life in them, if you don't believe that, if you don't understand it, then when you go to speak into your problem, it won't believe you either, and it won't understand it, and you will not see the results that you desire. Well, that's a powerful truth. So Jesus in Mark chapter 11, verse 23 is teaching on how you see the supernatural power of God manifest. And you could apply this to healing. If you want to see cancer flee from you when you speak to it, well, then you're going to have to get to where you start meaning what you say. You're going to have to be a man or a woman of your word. You're going to have to quit listening to words that are foolish and vain. Every time you do that, every time you hear somebody using profanity, doing things, and you expose yourself to it, I'm aware that we can't live in a vacuum and there's going to be some exposure, but when you can do something about it and you don't, and you just allow words to come your way and it's unimportant to you and you've desensitized yourself to it, you also are cutting yourself off from seeing the supernatural power of God operate in your life. According to what Jesus said in Mark 11:23, you're going to have to start believing in the power, the creative power that's in words. He said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Well, that's amazing. And let me also emphasize this. Mark chapter 11, verse 23 says, not only is it important what you say, but notice that it's important to whom or to what you speak. It says, Mark 11, 23, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. That's an important truth. We're talking about prayer and we're talking about how to receive the petitions that you've desired from God. And there are at least three really, really important things in Mark chapter 11, verse 23. We've already talked about that you've got to start understanding and believing in the power of words. Also, here's another thing. It says, whosoever shall say unto this mountain. It didn't say that you talk to God about your problem and ask Him to intervene. Now, this is kind of a subtle truth that some people miss. But if you can track with me right here, this would change the way you receive from God. For you not to say, oh, God, please remove this fig tree. Please kill this fig tree. Please get this problem out of my life. Please heal my body. Prosper me financially. For you not to ask God to do something, but instead you to speak to cancer and command it to die. That's exactly what Mark 11, 23 is saying. Whosoever shall say unto your mountain, if you've got cancer, then cancer is your mountain. If you've got poverty, then poverty is your mountain. If you are depressed, then depression is your mountain. If you're fearful, fear is your mountain. It's talking about speaking to your problem. And for you not to talk to God about your problem, but instead speak to your problem about God, here is a subtle truth that some people miss. For you to do that, it means that you are taking for granted, or you are already believing that God has already given you the power to overcome that situation. He has deposited His power on the inside of you. And now you have the authority of God to speak to your problem, and it will obey you. James chapter 4, verse 7 says, submit yourselves therefore unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. It says you resist the devil. It doesn't say, oh God, please resist the devil for me. Oh God, please come and get the devil off my back. No, God gave you the power over the enemy, and you have to believe that that power isn't out there somewhere, and that if you pray just right, maybe God will release it and God will get the devil off of your back. No, God gave you His power and the authority to use that power. And instead of you speaking to God about the devil and asking God to remove the devil, you take that authority and you speak, and the devil will flee from you. Man, that is one powerful truth. I can't tell you how important this is, and yet I see people violating this all of the time, and they don't understand why they aren't healed, why they aren't prospered, why they aren't delivered, why things aren't working, and yet they aren't doing what God says. They aren't speaking to the problem, but instead they're approaching God like, oh God, I have no power whatsoever against this situation. Oh God, I'm powerless. God, the doctor says I'm going to die. God, the doctor, the banker is going to repossess my car. I'm about to lose my house. Oh, God, the psychologist said that this is a problem that I'll have to live with the rest of my life. And we talk to God and report the negative things and ask God for help. And I know many of you thinking, what's wrong with that? Aren't you supposed to bring your petitions before God? Well, again, there's nothing wrong with you asking and believing that you receive. But this instruction about how you see the miraculous power of God manifest is you've got to believe that God has already done His part. He's generated the power. He's placed on the inside of you the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. You've got raising from the dead power on the inside of you. It's not out there. You don't have to pray and get God to come down. Rend the heavens and come down. He's already done that through Jesus. You don't have to have the Lord, oh God, heal me. By His stripes we were healed. 1 Peter 2:24. God's already placed that raising from the dead power on the inside of you. So what you've got to do is start believing that you already have that power, and then you take your authority and speak to the problem. You know, I've got this book entitled, You've Already Got It. We've made a major promotion on that in the last few months. And I've got a teaching out on that cassette and CD. And I tell you, it is just a profound, powerful truth to understand that instead of trying to get healed, God has already healed you. You aren't the sick who is trying to get well. You are the well who Satan is trying to blind you to the truth and keep you in deception and keep you from receiving what is already yours. It's like you've got a well on the inside of you and you've just never drawn things out. There's a total difference from knowing that a well is there and all you got to do is stick a bucket down in there and draw it out. That's a different attitude than not knowing that you have any water, not knowing that there is a supply around, and instead you're asking and asking somebody to come bring you a drink of water. You know, instead of being a beggar, instead of a person who is asking, oh God, would you please touch me? God, would you heal my body? God, would you move in my finances? The truth is God's already done everything it takes for you to live in absolute total victory. It's already been deposited on the inside of you. And instead of asking God to move your mountain, He told you to move the mountain. Speak to it and it would obey you. And in that context, if you think about this, this means that you have to believe that God has placed that raising from the dead power on the inside of you. Most Christians don't do that. Most Christians come to the Lord, and you know, in John chapter 15, I believe it's verse 4, Jesus was speaking about abiding in the vine, and He said, without me, you can do nothing. And you know what? I believe that. I believe that without Jesus, I am nothing and I can do nothing. I do not believe that it's my own power that has seen people raised from the dead and blind eyes open and finances supplied and emotions healed. I don't believe that it's me. It's God's power. So I would agree that, yes, without Christ, I am nothing. But I am not without Christ. He will never leave me nor forsake me. And so in a sense, yes, there is a place to emphasize that without Him, we're nothing. But unless you flip that coin over and see the other side of this and understand that I'm not without Christ and that through Him I can do all things, Philippians 4:13. Through Christ I can do all things. If you don't have both sides of that coin, if you don't have these apparent opposites, this apparent contradiction in balance at all times, that I'm nothing by myself, but I'm not without myself, and through Christ I can do all things. If you don't keep both of those things in balance, then you're going to be out of balance. You are going to sit there and say, oh God, I can do nothing. Oh God, we have no power. Oh God, please move in our life. And you just can't understand. You think, well, I'm praying, I'm asking God, why aren't things working? Well, we aren't doing what God says. First of all, we don't believe that when you got born again that God gave you supernatural raising from the dead power. And so we are approaching God and saying, oh God, please take this away. That's not what He told us to do. That's not faith. You know, some of you may not understand what I'm saying right here, but it's actually an insult to God. When we come and say, oh God, please heal me. Oh God, would you please move in my life? Oh God, would you prosper me? That's a statement of unbelief, because the Bible says that by His stripes we were healed. 1 Peter 2:24. It says that He wish above all things that we prosper and be in health, even as our soul prospers, 3 John chapter 1, verse 2. And so God has already prospered us. He's already put this power on the inside of us. You've got to believe that you've already got God's power. And instead of asking God as if He hasn't done His part, believe that what God's Word says is true. He's put this power on the inside of you, and He gave you the power of words to release that power. You've got the power, and now you've got the authority, and you release that power by speaking words and speaking to the problem instead of speaking to God about your problem. Boy, if you could understand that, this would totally revolutionize the way that you pray. So much of what people call prayer is people begging God to do something, when the truth is God's already done it. It's not God who needs to move. It's you that needs to believe. Take your authority and you command the power of God to be in manifestation. That's not the attitude that most Christians have. Most Christians approach God in prayer as if He can do anything, but He has done nothing. And they ask God to move and to heal and to bless and to prosper, when the truth is the Bible says He's already done all of those things. He's put the same power on the inside of you that Jesus had when He walked on this earth. And you have that power at your disposal. You release it by your words and you speak to the problem. Don't talk to God about your problem, but speak to your problem about God. And if you would just follow those simple instructions right here, this would transform your prayer life. You would move from a beggar to a commander, to a person who is, instead of being depressed and defeated and desperate, you would be a person who through Christ is in control. He has made you more than an overcomer, and all you have to do is stand your ground and put yourself in agreement with what He's already said and command that power to flow, and you would start seeing the supernatural power of God manifest through you. Boy, that's good news. You know, I've got a tape on this entitled Speak to the Mountain, and it'll go into more detail than what I've been able to do, so I encourage you to please get that teaching. It's just a part in this series that we have on a better way to pray. Our announcer is going to give you some information, and please get this material. I think it could change your life. And then join me again tomorrow when I'll be continuing this teaching on a better way to pray.
Andrew's teaching titled A Better Way to Pray is available in book form for a gift of any amount to Andrew Womack Ministries. Ask for book number T321. If you prefer, A Better Way to Pray is available in a 5-part CD album or in a DVD album recorded from television. Request album T1042 when you make a donation of any amount to Andrew Womack Ministries. Be sure to specify the CD album or the DVD album when you write or call. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side. The fourth audio CD in this album is also available for a donation. But for those unable to send a gift, Andrew and his partners will provide this fourth teaching free of charge. Request teaching TY24 titled Speak to the Mountain when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. We'd also like to remind you that Andrew's latest book, titled Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith, is available in hardback for a gift of any amount. Request book T228. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. Canadian viewers can now make tax-deductible donations through Andrew Womack Ministries Canada. That address is also on your screen. The generous gifts of our friends and partners help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
You know, many of you are being blessed and you're getting this truth about how important the Word is, and you don't even know how to get started. You don't know where to read. You don't know what to do. You know, that's the reason we put out our materials. They can help you. But really, the best thing I have to help you get into the Word of God is our Charis Bible College. And we not only have this campus here in Colorado Springs, but we have about 15 different Bible colleges scattered around the world. We also have an online Bible school that we just started this month. And you can now go online and in a class setting where you are interacting with other students, you can go through our online Charis Bible College. There's a lot of ways for you to take advantage of it, but I encourage you to call the number that you see on your screen and pursue participating in our Charis Bible College.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma for Pastor Bob Yandian's Ministers Conference, March 3rd through the 5th, in Colorado Springs, Colorado for Charis Bible College Campus Days, March 10th through the 12th, and in Atlanta, Georgia for a Gospel Truth Seminar, April 15th through the 17th. He'll also be in Chicago, Illinois for a Gospel Truth Seminar May 13th through the 15th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
I'd like to invite you to join me on March the 10th through the 12th for our Charis Bible College Campus Days. This is where we invite people to come in and check out our classes. We will be holding regular classes. It begins on a Wednesday and goes through Friday. You'll be sitting in on our Bible college classes. You'll get to hear the instructors. You'll get to have lunch with the faculty. There's also a soup supper. And it's just going to be a great time of the Word ministering to you. But also, if you have ever thought of coming to Charis Bible College, you need to be here. It's amazing what happens when people just come and try it out and get a taste of it. They get hooked on it. So I would encourage you to come check us out March the 10th through the 12th for our Charis Bible College Campus Days.
We got a brother who got the hold of Andrew's materials in Riga, and he was a professional announcer on radio, and he decided he was going to start reading Andrew's books for 20 minutes a day, a special program on radio in Latvia. So in Latvian, he sits down every day, and he's now on the third of Andrew's books, and he just reads it 20 minutes a day, and people are contacting him, and he's now given up 2 days of his job a week to sit down and translate materials, because he sees it as a means of helping to change his nation. And that's what it's about. You know, there is darkness out there, but praise God, the darkness has not overcome the light. And the light of this word that Andrew is bringing is going from nation to nation.
Krakow, Poland, an ancient and beautiful city, famous as the early home of the man who became Pope John Paul II. He presided at the Vatican for 27 years as one of the most faithful and godly Catholic leaders of all time. And of course, Andrew had the opportunity to minister to the Polish people in a very unlikely setting.
This is in a bar. There's about five or six churches that have come together. They're expecting anywhere around 400 people to come together. It'll be my first time to minister here, and we had one church that rented a bus and brought 50 people. We've already had one woman that I prayed for tonight who's had pain for 5 years and had an autoimmune disease and just was in constant pain. And she was instantly healed, already standing up, walking around. So we've already seen great miracles before the service even starts. It's going to be great.
There's no reason that you shouldn't be able to get this. Nie ma żadnego powodu, dla którego nie moglibyście zdobyć tych rzeczy.
He wants us to see what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe according to the working of his mighty power.
I jak nadzwyczajna jest wielkość mocy Jego wobec nas, którzy wierzymy dzięki działaniu przemożnej siły Jego.
Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places.
I hope that gives you a little flavor of what we're doing in the United Kingdom and the regions beyond. You know, the Great Commission was, go ye into all the world. I believe that. And I look forward in the next, certainly I talking a 10-year program, and that's what I've got in my heart and my mind, is in the next 10 years, I believe it will be the greatest years ever of Andrew Womack Ministries. I believe that he'll be one of the greatest influences in the body of Christ around the world in the next 10 years, because the message he's got is a God-given message at God in the perfect time of God.
And as the message goes forth, countless lives are changed with the nearly too good to be true news.